The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome back to the Frank Sontag Show, hour number two. Thank you for joining us. Our impact segment is always 20-plus minutes of uninterrupted dialogue and discussion. We'll be taking phone calls throughout the hour. 888-528-2557 are the numbers to call into the program. I have not made mention of the new updated mask mandate in L.A. County. I'm going to read you a commentary in a moment, but let's listen to this expose recently on Tucker Carlson.
Well, the city of Los Angeles has announced it is bringing back indoor mask mandates, and they will apply even to people who've been vaccinated.
Masking indoors must again become a normal practice by all, regardless of vaccination status, so that we can stop the trends and level of transmission we're currently seeing.
So it doesn't make a ton of sense, and the L.A. County Sheriff, Alex Villanueva, has just announced he will not enforce the mandate that you just heard, and that does make sense because it's not rooted in science. How do we know this? Well, back in May, the director of the CDC, Rochelle Walensky, said that vaccinated people don't need to wear masks.
We are asking people to be honest with themselves. If they are vaccinated and they are not wearing a mask, they are safe. If they are not vaccinated and they are not wearing a mask, they are not safe.
Ooh, so the experts have contradictory guidance. Maybe the experts and the science have nothing to do with any of this. Maybe it's as simple as once you hand power over your life, the intimate details, what you can wear while you're eating, for example, whether you can go to church, they don't want to give it back. And they're not. There are signs tonight that other cities are going to reinstate mask mandates. In New York, Governor Andrew Cuomo just tweeted that masks should be mandatory because, and we're not making this up, they're a sign of respect and can prevent the common cold. So why ever take it off? Are they a sign of respect to the people who are forced to wear them? No, they're a sign of obedience and submission. That's why they mandate them. Meanwhile, the World Health Organization is warning that a third wave of the virus is about to knock out all the progress that vaccines have made. Chaos on the COVID front tonight. Alex Berenson is the man to sort out. He's a best-selling author. He is so honest about this topic that he has just been blocked from posting by Twitter. According to the White House, that means Alex Berenson should be banned everywhere. Facebook, YouTube, Substack, too. We'll see if that happens. In the meantime, he's always welcome here. Alex Berenson joins us now. Alex, thanks so much for coming on. There's just so much here, and you may know too much to give a crisp answer. So I'm just going to throw it out to you. How do you assess the developments I just explained?
So, look, masks are useless for their wearers. Again, we've known this for at least a year. We have a randomized controlled trial showing it. They probably do little to nothing for source control, i.e. to block the transmission of virus. We've known that, too. Maybe if you, you know, decide to wear an N95 mask and have it on your face the whole time, you know, you're out and never touch it, you get some minor benefit, although even that is not really proven. As you said, I mean, what I've grown to conclude over the last 12 months is that masks are very simply symbolic. All they are is a sign you are in a dangerous time. You need to listen to us. You know, if I don't see people wearing masks, I forget to be scared. And that's right. Why they want people wearing masks. And, you know, it just could not be clearer.
The psychological damage they're doing here. So we're now told there's a third wave. And this may undercut the effectiveness of the vaccines. How effective are the vaccines? Do we know so far?
The vaccines, unfortunately, appear to be declining in effectiveness very quickly. And I believe this is why Twitter has me blocked. So I've been blocked for 12 hours, Tucker. But this is a very clear warning signal. I've never been blocked on Twitter before. And I've written a lot of stuff about masks and, you know, lockdowns and lots of stuff that people have not liked, even though it's all been backed by data, all been backed by, you know, primary government sources and scientific papers and stuff. Vaccines appear to me to be a third rail. You know, there's tremendous public health pressure, and there's also tremendous financial pressure in favor of these vaccines. And so what I wrote today was when you look at, listen, it's not my fault the UK had 50,000 new COVID cases today. Okay, the Britain is the most vaccinated major country in the world. They have an out of control epidemic right now. Deaths are going up. Hospitalizations are going up. Hopefully they will not go to the levels that they went back in January, but they are rising. And it has nothing to do with the fact that people are not vaccinated there, because they are.
So a few things, the points I want to make. What we're being presented with by the government is vaccinations are the end all. Get vaccinated. We heard the president the other day talk about the people that are unvaccinated are the ones that are getting COVID. It's just nonsense. It's a lie. Number two, here's something to think about other than Alex Berenson talking about London and also Israel, one of the most vaccinated countries in the world. They're having problems now. I have a friend who lives in New South Wales. He shared this the other day. Just think about this for a moment. New South Wales has a population of 8,166,000 people. Currently, 864 people have tested positive for COVID, which is 0.0001% of the total population. He also writes, how many of those tests may have been false positives for a virus that has more than a 99% recovery rate? And the whole government has locked down the whole state. New South Wales is locked down again because 864 people out of more than 8.1 million have tested positive. Does this kind of make you wonder, maybe there's something else going on? Fear, confusion, emotional, economic distress. So I'm just suggesting you may think more about this idea that vaccinations are about loving your neighbor and keeping safe, et cetera, et cetera. And here's something to think about. You probably will not hear this on CNN top of the hour news. A consortium backed by George Soros and Bill Gates has joined a buyout of Mellogic. Who's Mellogic? They're a COVID-19 testing company. Soros Economic Development Fund, an arm of Soros' Open Society Foundations, has confirmed as of yesterday that it has partnered with the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, and they have invested in part of the Global Access Health Initiative to the tune of $41.1 million. Statement reads, quote, the group has financed the acquisition of Mellogic LTD, a world-leading innovator in the development of lateral flow and rapid diagnostic technologies, including tests for COVID-19. Previously, Soros' Open Society's funding efforts have been aimed at, quote, building the capacity of community-based organizations to catalyze political engagement throughout the year and not solely around elections, end quote. Do you know George Soros helped fund our new DA in Los Angeles, George Gascon? Have you seen anything this guy is doing? The havoc he is reaping and wreaking, I should say. Soros donated more than $2 million to his campaign. There is a financial incentive here, my friends. I'm not saying it's the end all, but when you're thinking about just get the shot, it's safety. What could be wrong? And the unvaccinated are the problem. They're the ones that are getting it. Nonsense. And then let me read this commentary. We'll break and come back with calls. California Globe is a website I quote often. There's a new commentary by Katie Grimes. Why are California city's public health officers really ordering masks worn indoors? Subtitle, we've been told the vaccines protect against COVID-19 and the variants according to the World Health Organization. Katie Grimes writes, Thursday, L.A. County Public Health Officer Dr. Muntu Davis, we just heard him in short audio clip on Tucker Carlson reading, announced at a video press conference a new order requiring masks be worn by L.A. residents when indoors, regardless of vaccination status. It went into effect Sunday morning at 12:01. This was announced about 4 days previous. If L.A. residents are so at risk for infection, why wait until Sunday? Good question, Katie Grimes. Sacramento residents are also once again being asked to mask up indoors. Case rates increased with the Delta variant. And why? Most of downtown Sacramento hasn't recovered and still's not back open. Even the vaccinated must wear masks, which is a good question. Why is that? We just heard Rochelle Walensky say no, and now they're contradicting themselves. Even the vaccinated must wear masks under these county orders. But remember, Dr. Anthony Thono Fauci admitted masks are ineffective against the virus. Remember in April when the Globe reported on a doctor who used vape clouds to illustrate how masks don't work? Remember when the CDC's Dr. Rochelle Walensky reversed the mask order and announced that face masks are no longer mandatory for those who've been vaccinated? Did the science change, or did politics necessitate this diversion? What these public health officers aren't telling the public is perhaps the most important piece of information. Ready? The vaccines protect against COVID-19 and the variants, according to the World Health Organization, as we've been told. Stay with me. LA County has recorded more than 1,000 new cases each day for a week. And now some of the local public health experts say this is substantial community transmission. 1,000 new cases in LA County. 10 million people live in LA County. Of the 59 people with confirmed infections, Samuel L. Jones Hall, 9 were hospitalized, including 6 who were fully vaccinated and had multiple significant underlying health conditions, including things like diabetes and pulmonary disease. Health officials say 4 have been discharged, 5 remain hospitalized. Sacramento County officials say the increase in daily COVID-19 cases appears to be due in part to the Delta variant. And then Katie Grimes writes, but wait. County public health officials have mostly ignored homeless populations throughout the state during the last 16 months of COVID, despite the fact that many have asked why the homeless weren't used as control groups. Cynical California residents have expected that another lockdown was imminent, given that so many believe that the lockdown was less about public health and more about state and local political control. This is cruel to business owners who have just reopened. Business owners say it is beyond cruel and instead abusive, and even state terrorism to those most economically harmed in the state during the last 16 months of lockdowns, reopenings, more lockdowns, and seemingly random totalitarian orders. What appears to be behind this threat of mask mandates and more business lockdowns is public health officials' attempt, wait for it, to scare more Californians to vaccinate. Sacramento County Public Health Officer Olivia Casiri said, quote, "Our best protection against COVID continues to be the vaccine. We urge all eligible residents to get vaccinated in order to protect themselves and their families and friends." The Sacramento County Public Health Officer recommended that fully vaccinated people should once again start wearing a mask outdoors in settings where vaccination verification is not required. There's a little more. Is this a little strange to you? County health official, Dr. Muntu Davis, we talked about, said the county is, quote, "not where we need to be in terms of vaccinations," end quote. Katie Grimes writes, collusion, anyone? And just what other states are ordering masks or threatening lockdowns due to the Delta variant. 888-528-2557. Alex Villanueva says this latest order not backed by science, not going to enforce it. It is very interesting what we have been willing to go along with out of fear. And then listen to this heartbreaking email I received. Frank, I'm in search of an information resource that is opposite of the narrative being jammed down our throats and brainwashing Americans about the COVID-19 vaccines and this new COVID variant. I just got off the phone with my 70-year-old mother who was filled with fear because of the variant and because myself and my wife refused to be vaccinated. Other than things just don't seem right, there are more red flags than green ones. I don't have a lot of information to dispute what my mom hears on news media and what our government is pushing. I would greatly appreciate if you can lead me to information that they don't want me to know so that when the topic comes up, I don't just sound like some crazy conspiracy theorist. I embrace faith over fear, believe in my healer, my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is the ultimate truth, and above all, and pray for my mom, would as well, and we would be thankful for your prayers. And then he writes a lot of kind sentiments. Thank you, Steve. There is a lot of information out there. I'm going to answer Steve privately. I sort many of the sources. I cite many of the sources on this program. But here's the bottom line. If you listen to the mainstream, if you read Twitter, if you get updates from CNN or even ABC, get ready. Fear Porn, the sequel, is coming. And I don't know for a fact, but my suspicion is this is about those that have chosen not to take the experimental drug. Experimental drug, you say? I want you to listen to Peter McCullough.
Peter McCullough is an eminent physician. He's an internist and a cardiologist. We had an amazing conversation with him that lasted for more than an hour on Tucker Carlson Today. It covered a lot of ground. It was mostly about the coronavirus and how to respond to it. But one part of the discussion stuck out, and we wanted to share it with you tonight. It turns out there is still no treatment protocol for physicians trying to treat patients with coronavirus. What? It's true. Here's part of our conversation.
I'm a doctor. I treat patients one by one. And I can tell you, and I testify to this, I have treated all my high-risk patients. I think it would be immoral, unethical, and from a civil perspective, illegal not to do that. So that question is best posed to all the doctors and medical centers and groups that haven't been treating COVID-19. We're a year into this. Where's the Mayo Clinic protocol? Where's the Harvard protocol? Where's Johns Hopkins?
There isn't one?
You mean... Do they have COVID treatment?
Well, I don't know.
Have they helped people avoid hospitalization and death, or have they just sat back and just received the cases as they've come in? I'm telling you, something is up. The entire world has been on defense. Maybe it's all driven out of fear, but we are not treating something that is a treatable problem early.
We have a problem with something that can be treated early. One doctor's opinion. What about Brett Weinstein?
An awful lot of people are being censored right now by the big tech monopolies, but occasionally you see someone censored and you think, this really isn't a free country anymore. And that's our reaction to what happened to Brett Weinstein. He's an evolutionary biologist who in a former life was a professor at Evergreen College, who came on here at the time, maybe 4 years ago. Now he hosts a very popular podcast called the Dark Horse Podcast. On June 5th, Weinstein discussed the benefits of a drug called ivermectin, which can and is around the world used to treat and prevent the spread of the coronavirus. It's not some crackpot fish tank cleaner. It's a real drug, and physicians prescribe it. Well, this afternoon, YouTube confirmed to this show that it has blocked Brett Weinstein's channel from generating any ad revenue, which is how he makes a living, in part, since he left Evergreen. YouTube said, quote, we have demonetized Brett Weinstein's channel and affiliated channels and suspended them from the YouTube partner program. YouTube added that they will not allow any channel to discuss, quote, claims that ivermectin is effective in treatment or prevention of COVID.
So you hear misinformation. You heard Jen Psaki the other day talk about people are dying because of misinformation. When did all of a sudden the government become the expert on this? Right? Have we not? And it's a pandemic. Yeah, true. But what about other things? What about doctor-to-patient privacy? What about having access to therapeutics? What about what Peter McCullough said? Is there any protocol to treat people early versus once they get in the hospital? And then it would only take a congressman to kind of blow the doors off the lies that I believe we are being told.
This whole issue of the vaccines hits very close to home for me. My father in 1949 was 7 years old. He was diagnosed with polio. And my grandmother was nursing my grandfather who was sick with cancer. He died that fall and then raised my dad as a single mom, nursed him to health. And he lived his whole life ravaged with polio. I'm grateful to have a vaccine for me,
yes.
Vaccine for my son, my daughter. I believe in vaccines. And
me
I'll
too.
Be damned if I'm going to allow Democrats, Democrats like you're describing, come in and start calling you an anti-vax hacker, call me an anti-vaxxer, because I dare to believe that it is our duty as Americans, our patriotic duty, to make decisions for ourselves, not have Democrats looking at our text messages, not having them trying to shame the American people into taking a vaccine. Now we've got the HHS secretary, as you know, Becerra, saying, quote, the federal government has spent trillions of dollars to try and keep Americans alive during this pandemic, so it is absolutely the government's business to know who is vaccinated. It's taxpayers' business. That is what is, this is the danger we face as Americans. The forgotten right. men and women out here who are getting rolled over by the power of government, but also the oligopoly of these corporate cronies who are trying to use all of this to fatten their own wallets. Heck, Pfizer said they expect to get $15 billion out of these vaccines in their announcement in February. Our job is to stand up and say no. And I'm proud right now. One of my staffers just texted me. There's a sheriff in one of the counties I represent in Texas who just told a crowd, if any of these, you know, vaccine feds come up to your property, you kick them off and I'll be there to defend you and back you up. And we need to stand up strong for the liberties that protected us as Americans and stop all of this ridiculousness where the federal government is telling us that our children have to be masked, our small businesses have to be closed while Amazon makes another $100 billion.
It's a congressman out of Texas named Chip Roy. One last thought. These are experimental drugs. You cannot frame it any other way. These have not been approved by the FDA yet. And yet we're being told perfectly safe, no problem. When we come back, we're going to hear from a mom whose daughter took the vaccine. What happened to her? We have open lines as well. 888-528-2557. More of this, the Frank Sontag Show next. Welcome back to the Frank Sontag Show. 888-528-2557 are the numbers to call into the program later in the segment. We're going to kind of talk a bit more about what we shared in the previous segment about questioning, just having the audacity to question the drugs that are being pushed on us as vaccines. Let me take a call or two here. Boyd in Newport Beach, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Hello?
You're on the air, Boyd.
Hey, hi, Frank. How are you doing?
I'm well.
You're sounding good. I tried to get to you when you were had the gay choir on in San Francisco, and I wanted to...
You tried... I want to understand you. You tried to get to me when? It's not a clear connection.
You had that gay choir on from San Francisco.
Okay.
And I tried to get on that day, but you were really busy. I waited for an hour on the phone. But anyway, in regards to that, John MacArthur has a booklet out that's very, very good, very precise on that subject. It's just a 12-page booklet called What Does the Bible Say About Homosexuality? Mm-hmm. And he goes through it, and it's very, very good. People that are wondering about that subject need to read this pamphlet that John had put out. It's really good. I just wanted to say that.
Okay. I appreciate you sharing. Thank you for it. John MacArthur, Kevin DeYoung, they're reformed. I would not say I'm reformed, but I think they have valuable information. I appreciate you sharing that. Terry in Washington. Terry, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Hi, Frank.
Hi, Terry.
I talked to you last week about my husband came down with Guillain-Barré. I wanted to also let you know that back in December, we were about to take a trip, and his doctor already knew what to do. And so he had already prescribed him with a protocol, including a prescription for ivermectin. So there are some doctors that have got a clue, and we are very fortunate that we were able to tap into the one he has been seeing for years. So I just want you to know, even though we're hearing, you know, negative things about ivermectin, we have it, and we haven't needed to use it because neither one of us have come down with it.
How is your husband doing now?
He came down with Guillain about 4.5 years ago, and he's not ever going to be the same, but he's better than he'll ever be. We're getting back to normal life, but it made a toll on him.
Yeah,
it's really bad stuff.
I appreciate your call. Please keep in touch with me. I want to continue to maybe pray for your husband and let us know how he's doing. And best way to do that is to get on my mailing list, as, again, our emails won't be valid in a couple weeks here with me leaving. Terry, thank you. Terry made mention of how we hear ivermectin is bad, just like we hear hydroxychloroquine is bad. This is nonsense. I've taken hydroxychloroquine. It's helped me in ways that, well, you take a mission trip way back when the world was kind of different. You're dispatched to an area that may be prone to malaria. They give you hydroxychloroquine. It's also for rheumatoid arthritis. It's for lupus. Been on the market 60 years. But again, not very expensive. When you talk about monopolizing the vaccines, the drugs, now we find out George Soros and Bill Gates have bought a COVID testing company. There's a lot of money to be had in this business. In fact, let me share this.
Pharmaceutical companies like Moderna and BioNTech have seen their stock prices explode over the past year for two reasons. One, investors believe their vaccine profits will be enormous. And two, the companies have monopoly control over vaccine production, so the profit streams will continue to be enormous. As a result, the vaccines have now minted 9 brand new billionaires, and 5 of them are associated with Moderna, including CEO Stefan Bancel and Chairman Noubar Afeyan. 3 other Moderna early investors are also now billionaires. BioNTech CEO and co-founder Ugur Sahin is also on the list, along with 3 founders of the Chinese vaccine company CanSino Biologics. And on top of the 9 new billionaires, the vaccines gave 8 existing billionaires an additional $32 billion to mess around with. All told, the new and old billionaires took in about $51 billion. The People's Vaccine Alliance says that's enough to vaccinate everyone in India, as well as an additional 800 million people in low-income countries that have so far gotten a very small share of the vaccine supply.
Trace Gallagher reports regularly on Fox. Yes, Fox. He's a really good journalist. You can chop it out any way you wish. One last point about this idea of, well, we'll let Tucker say it.
Real doctors, though, are starting to have some concerns about these vaccines. The CDC has just acknowledged that the vaccine is linked to higher rates of myocarditis. That's a potentially fatal heart inflammation. The World Health Organization says that young people should not take these vaccines. Last night, we spoke to one of the men who invented the mRNA vaccine technology about his concerns.
My concerns are that the government is not being transparent with us about what those risks are. And so I'm of the opinion that people have the right to decide whether to accept vaccine or not, especially since these are experimental vaccines. This is a fundamental right having to do with clinical research ethics. And so my concern is that I know that there are risks, but we don't have access to the data. Certainly, I can say that the risk-benefit ratio for those 18 and below doesn't justify vaccines, and there's a pretty good chance that it doesn't justify vaccination in these very young adults.
The government isn't being transparent about the risk. Well, that's for sure. The CDC director, Rochelle Walensky, is insisting that myocarditis is not actually a significant risk. And the
See, they keep telling us, no risk, safe, do what you can do. You'll see commercials, celebrities, you know, take the jab. And I'm not saying yay or nay. You should have a right. Here's the thing, and you even heard the doctors say, you should have the right to decide for yourself, not be forced, coerced, or bribed into doing something that you may not be apt to do to your own body. Now I'm going to play a clip of a mom. It's hard to hear. I'm not going to play all of it. And yes, it's one mom, but it's one daughter. Am I saying everybody that takes the vaccine, they're all going to get sick? Not what I'm saying. Why are we not being told by the government of side effects versus it's all safe, it's all good, just take the vaccine?
This has been very clearly emotional, so I'm going to read what I've written so I don't lose track. My name is Stephanie, and this is my daughter, Maddie, and we live in Ohio. On January 20th, Maddie received her second dose of the Pfizer COVID vaccine as a participant in the clinical trial for 12 to 15-year-olds. All three of our kids volunteered and were excited to participate in the trial as a way to help us all return to normal life. My husband works in the medical field, and I have a degree in electrical engineering. We are pro-vaccine and pro-science, which is why we agreed to let Maddie and her two older brothers volunteer for the trial. Before Maddie got her final dose of the vaccine, she was a healthy 12-year-old who got straight A's and had lots of friends. She had a life. She was energetic. She was not like this. Although she does still have lots of friends. Upon receiving the second shot, Maddie immediately felt pain at the injection site. And over the next 24 hours, she developed severe abdominal and chest pain. And the way she described the chest pain, and I quote, "It feels like my heart is being ripped out through my neck." She had painful electrical shocks down her neck and spine that forced her to walk hunched over. She had extreme pain in her fingers and toes. It actually made them turn white, and they were cold whenever you touched them. She had edema. So my husband immediately took her to the ER as instructed by the vaccine trial nurse administrator, which is what we were instructed to do. Her blood was taken for a renal profile and tested. She was checked for appendicitis, which she did not have, and given an IV with some medicine, then sent home. However, in the discharge papers from the Children's Hospital ER that she went to, the diagnosis stated adverse effect of vaccine initial encounter.
So I'm going to stay there. Couple things. There's more. I don't need to play more. Why am I playing that? I'm not here to put fear into you about not taking the vaccine. Not my intention. I'm just here to say there are adverse effects to some. We need to be informed before we make decisions such as what we're being bombarded with, that it's all good. Here's the other part. In the public discourse, in the public narrative, we don't hear anything about therapeutics. We don't hear anything about, say, vitamin D. Do you know about vitamin D? Simple, vitamin D. They know that it can help you in many ways improve your health, including in relation to COVID-19. Vitamin D is an immunomodulator, which is a candidate for countering the immune dysregulation that's common with COVID-19. What happens is when you're infected, the body reacts. Now, let me just say, I'm not an expert, but what I understand. COVID-19 patients that have been tested positive have a high inflammatory response, right? The body reacts. tries to go after the infection, sometime with too much. Vitamin D, on the other hand, has multiple actions on the immune system. It helps fight. It's an anti-inflammatory in so many ways. So if you have an infection, your body's going to release cytokines to help combat inflammation. Sometimes it releases more than it should. If it begins to spiral out of control, you've heard about the cytokine storm. That's when people get in real trouble with COVID, closely tied to sepsis, a contributor to, sadly, the demise of some people with COVID. Vitamin D fights that. Vitamin D is an amazing supplement. Y'all should be taking lots of doses of vitamin D. It reduces COVID deaths. It reduces ICU admissions. I can quote the studies and the sources if you think I'm just making this up. But simple things that you can do: boost your immune system, get quercetin, take zinc, take vitamin C and D. See, we just hear about this bad virus, and now the Delta variant's coming. It's fear porn. And you'll be hearing me in the last few days of my broadcast. I'm just tired of hearing all the fear. What about the facts? What about information? Where is our strength? Obviously, ultimately, in Jesus alone. 888-528-2557. One more segment. Some good news. One politician is standing up and saying, put on the full armor of God. Who is it? We'll talk about that next here on the Frank Sontag Show. Welcome back to the Frank Sontag Show. Thank you for joining us. Three bits of information that I want to share with you, all not related to each other. A new Rasmussen poll says 39% of likely U.S. voters think the country is headed in the right direction. 39%. What does that mean on the other side? Well, more people think we're in big trouble. This is according to a national telephone survey by Rasmussen for the week of July 11th through the 15th. We'll get back to that probably tomorrow. The American Academy of Pediatrics is advising that all children should wear masks in school this fall, even if they're vaccinated. The American Academy of Pediatrics, in my humble estimation, promotes child abuse with such findings. And you can find out who they are and what they support, where they come from. In fact, let me see if I can find it very quickly here. I had looked them up. I wanted to make sure I had the right group. And I don't think I have it. I'll go back to it tomorrow. But this particular group, at least some chapters, they were big last summer promoting Black Lives Matter, systemic racism. This is the American Academy of Pediatrics. You think that they'd focus on taking care of the youth. This is a left-wing political organization. They support Planned Parenthood. We'll talk maybe more about it tomorrow. And then there's this man. Politics aside, here's the truth. Florida Governor Rick DeSantis has encouraged a group of Christian attorneys attending a conference to stand firm for what's right and put on the full armor of God as they defend religious liberty. DeSantis made the remarks in Florida at the Alliance Defending Freedom Summit on religious liberty. He talked about his own record of defending religious freedom and said, quote, I appreciate what you're doing because I know you face blowback. I know the media smears. I know that you take on cases that are not popular with certain segments of our elite institutions. God bless you for being willing to do that. I just would say, whether you're doing legal battles, whether you're a judge, whether you're an elected official, stand firm in what you do. Stand firm for what's right and put on the full armor of God. Take a stand against the left schemes. Take up the shield of faith. You're going to face flaming arrows, that's guaranteed, but stand strong, hold the line, and don't ever, ever back down. That's the governor of Florida. He's also a war veteran. Then we have the governor of California. Oh, my goodness. September 14th. Please follow up and investigate what's going on in our state about the recall. You know, in the last few days of my broadcast this week, I've kind of made the commitment to not have guests on. I don't want this to be self-serving. You know, Frank's going away, boo-hoo. Frank will miss you, and have people on just to fall all over themselves. That's not what this program's about. It's not about me. It's never been about me. That being said, I may reach out to Larry and see if I can get Larry Elder on. He's obviously really busy. He's got some fights, some battles to be had. And let me see if I can get him on the program tomorrow. I'm going to call him after we get off the air. So from now until then, thank you for supporting this program. If you don't know, my last day will be this Friday. Kind of weird, surreal to say, but that is the truth. I thank management for allowing me to do these last programs. And if you're not on my mailing list, please go to franksontag.com and get on the mailing list. Please stop sending me emails at franksontag@kkla.com and saying, put me on the mailing list. That email address won't be valid in a week or two. So just go to my website, franksontag.com. We've made it easy for you. You see the big prompt. Get on Frank's mailing list. You just do it there. Go to franksontag.com. If I can help you or serve you, or maybe you need prayer, reach out to me. Send me an email at franksontag@kkla.com. And appreciate each and every one of you. We have 3 days remaining. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk a lot about Jesus and Scripture, and we are going to do an altar call on the program tomorrow. For those of you that are non-Christians, non-believers, I do hope you'll at the very least listen tomorrow to the entire broadcast. If you've missed anything, you can always go to kkla.com and download the program, which is put up shortly after we sign off. And I do hope and pray that you will keep me in your prayers and my ministry as I enter a new season in life. God bless each and every one of you. This is the Frank Sontag Show.